It's a huge physic for the shul, tremendous, really a tremendous accomplishment that part of our foundation of Nimud HaTorah at this point. So it's Yashar Koach for all of you. We came out for this Sudas. Of course, I believe it's actually related to Parshas Noach. Noach is the only person in all of Chumash who's described as a tzaddik. We find an allusion to Yosef HaTzaddik, Amachru B'Kesef Tzaddik, that's the pasuk in Sefer Amos, which is an allusion to Yosef, that's why we call Yosef HaTzaddik, but the only person who's called in all of Tanakh a tzaddik is Noach. That is the only one who's called a tzaddik. Breslovers like to quote the Medrash. The Medrash says that Noach's real name should have been Nachman. As the pasuk says in Parashat Reis, Zayin Nachman, Ma'aseinu, Ma'itzvin Yadeinu, his real name was supposed to be Nachman. The Medrash says he couldn't be called Nachman in Adam Azek, because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is missing two letters, Ki Yad Al-Keis Kal, Mokam Hashem Ba'amamet, Dardar. In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name is incomplete, so too, the name Nachman is incomplete, it's Noach. But what's the love of the name of the real tzaddik will be Nachman. That's what they say in Breslover's circle. But it could be Rabbi Nachman, the first Torah in the Likutei Maran. I believe that's an important idea, really, for those who are being Messiahim, the Daf Yomi, what the Tachov of Tzaddik is, what the Tachov of the Talmud Chacham is. It's an important message for those being Messiahim, the Daf Yomi. Because Rabbi Nachman writes, the first Torah in the Likutei Maran says, don't worry, I don't quote this all the time.
Doesn't know me in my
says that the letter Nun corresponds, the letter Nun of Noach corresponds to the sphere of Malchus, the last of all of the spheres, which doesn't have its own identity. It's a collection, amalgamation, the collective of all of the cumulative of all of the other spheres. Why? Because the pasuk says in Sefer Tehillim, Lefnei Hashemesh Yinoin Shemoi. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name should endure. Yinoin Nun. Miloshon Nun. Rashi there says Yinoin is Miloshon Malchus. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name should endure. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be the Melech. So Nun implies Malchus. That's the collection, the culmination, really, of all wisdom. Perhaps that's why there's Nun Sharibina, 50 gates of wisdom. It's the culmination, the collection of everything. Ches, the other letter of the name of Noach, is Ches corresponds to Chachma, the first sphere, the kernel, the starting point of all wisdom starts with Ches. Chachma is the first sphere. That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts from. So the name of Noach really corresponds to the collection of everything all the way to the end, but also the beginning, to where it all starts from. And perhaps this is a critical lesson in terms of learning Torah, because Rabbi Nachman himself writes like this, that it's because Nun is all the different points you pick up along the way, all the different attitudes, all the different ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu has attributes and interacts with us, but really perhaps corresponds to all the details of all the mitzvahs, of all the halachas that we find in every daf of Gemara. And that's part of learning Torah, is understanding the details, understanding, you know, in the third parak of Ksubas, all the halachas of Shtaras, in the fourth parak of Ksubas, been indifferent. All the different things that come up, the sugyas of Eretz Yisrael towards the end, there's a lot of details, a lot of things along the way. The Ches, though, is the fact that it all boils down to certain yesodas, to certain klolim. And if a person is a London, he's able to have the bigger picture, he's able to see how everything, even though there's lots of details, there's lots of different and moving parts, it all actually gets distilled down to certain klolim. And we need both aspects in learning Torah. The pasuk says in Parashas Hazinu, Yarif Kamata Lichi. Kadosh Baruch Hu's teachings are compared to dropping dew. Yarif, it drops, Kamata Lichi, my teachings. But a lekach is also something that you sell. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. It's something you buy or something you sell. So the Medrash says in Parashas Hazinu, just like a person who's traveling and needs to buy things and provisions along the way, needs small money. You need small change. Sometimes when you're traveling at a pit stop, you need to buy a soda, you need a dollar bill to put in the machine. Sometimes, though, when you're traveling from place to place, you hate change in your pockets. You hate small bills, because in your wallet, there's stuff with these small bills. You need bigger bills, so you change it to bigger denominations. So sometimes when you're traveling, you need big denominations to lower your load. Sometimes you need small little dollar bills in order to be useful at every stop. And the same is true in learning. Sometimes you need the Pirtei Profit. We need to get into the details. That's every daf Gemara. But there's a bigger picture also sometimes. Sometimes you need the bigger denominations to see the bigger klum, to see the bigger yesodis. And really that's what learning Torah is about, is a lot of times we have the Pirtei Profit, but the goal of learning sometimes is to pick up the bigger klum, to pick up the bigger yesodis and understand the principles, and to walk away sometimes with the principles. And I think we have like that in Daf Yomi. It can be frustrating. If you're going to focus on the Pirtei Pratim of every daf, when you get to the end, you're not going to remember all the details of how the Ksuba's been indifferent is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be formulated. Or you might not remember all the details of Kiyum Shtaras in the third parak, or all the details of when exactly the Ksuba is supposed to get married from the first parak. But and if you're going to focus on that, it's going to be very frustrating. But what we can pick up is sometimes the Yisaidis, is the Klolim that hopefully does stay with a person. There's certain Yisaidis, certain Klolim, that's the Ches. What the Ches represents, the Chachma, the kernel, the wisdom, where it all starts and then trickles down to all the details at the bottom in the sphere of Malchus, where everything gets collected. So at least if you look sometimes to the bigger Klolim, you're able to have a little bit more of a Minuchus HaNefesh. At least I walk away with this Yisaid, I walk away with this Klol. And the Tzaddik, the Talmid Chacham, is the person who's able to put everything together. To take the Pirtei Pratim, that's the Nun Sharivina, that's all of knowledge and all of understanding, and all the different spheres of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that all come into play in this basket of Malchus. But he's able to take that and go all the way back to the Ches to see where it all starts, to look at Klolim, where it all comes from, and to understand that they're all related, really, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad, who is the Pesach, the Tosefta, the Sanhedrin, everything is really related. But I think the biggest Klal of it all, after all the details and all the things that we saw in Masechta Ksuvos and different Masechtas, is that L'maisa, we're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all of it. The Yesod of all of it, as the Gemara says in Malchus, is Tzadik Memunasa Yichya, is that by learning Torah every day with that kind of commitment, with that kind of consistency, is we're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it all. And here's the Hashem, the learning of Daf Yomi every day with that kind of commitment should connect us all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. If there's one Yisoid, if we could reflect on the Derech HaLimud of Shechta Shlita, I'm talking about your father, it is taking from Pratim and then deriving the Klelim, looking to the details and then seeing the bigger picture, and conveying that to people who are then able to understand lots of different details with those Yisaitis and Klolim that Rav Shechter conveys. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hara Davua, Rav Shai Shechter, who was one of my closest and dearest friends and confidants, really, Yudid Nefesh, has been able to pick up that quality as well, to look at a lot of different pratim, to look at a lot of different details, but to be able to see the Yisaitis and the Klolim, really how all of that connects us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I've had this chus of being together with Shai, as he's become really a formidable Talmud Chacham, a charming Magid Shir and Marbitz Torah, but really a leader who cares about all of the different communities within Klal Yisrael and America and Eretz Yisrael as well. And therefore, it's a schus for him to be able to be Marbitz Torah here, for him to be able to share some divrei Torah, divrei brach with us on this very special occasion.
Thank you. Mazel tov, everybody, to all the Messianim, to all the Magidei Shir. There's no greater simcha than to be here for a Simchas HaTorah and to Rabbi Stein, and actually never been in the Ribniker Shtiebel. This is a very Shtiebel-like feeling, and it brings me back to, I don't know when, I'm not sure when the last time I was in the Shtiebel was, but I grew up in Washington Heights. I remember every Arab Shabbos, my father used to daven in the Dumber of the Shtiebel, so it makes me feel a little bit back to those days. And La'agdil Torah La'adira should have many, many opportunities to celebrate Simchas in the Shtiebel, and together with the Chevra and the Chabura should grow. More people should make a commitment and be able to follow through with that commitment as well. Making commitments is easy. Following through is a lot more difficult. And Rabbi Yaakov, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here and to be Mishtatev and part of the Simcha as well. So let me just follow up on what Rabbi Yaakov spoke about, and I guess I should say a little bit of what Rabbi Stein spoke about. I'm not holding a Kisvei Rav Nachman at all. But I know that in my honor, he shared those very wonderful thoughts to educate those who are complete amaratzim. So that was very special. But Yaakov picked up on a point, which was an important one, that the end of Maseches Ksuvos focuses on Inyan Eretz Yisrael in a very prominent way. And in doing so, Yaakov pointed out that that is in some way our ksuba with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has a relationship with us. Rabbi Stein spoke about it as well, that this is so much of what we talk about in Maseches Ksuvos is about a marriage. And it's really about our marriage with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not just the marriage between a husband and wife. It's not just that union. It's something that's so much larger than that. I've asked many high school kids in our community, and maybe high school kids here think a little bit differently, I'm not sure, but we'll try it out. We daven disproportionately for one thing more than anything else in all the daven. We daven for Eretz Yisrael and Geula more than anything else. Ma'abiyenu l'tzir nir chaburina, b'li Yerushalayim, ir chaburachamim toshavas, samach David, v'sechazana einenu. You look through the davening psukah de Zimra and through the Birchas Kriyashma, and everywhere you see, this is a recurrent theme, over and over again. So I've asked many, many young high school kids in our community, so why do we want a Geula? We daven for it so many times. You ever wonder, why do you want a geula? What do we need it for? What's missing? Life is great. So, okay, Eretz Yisrael, I understand. What does that even mean to you? Why do you want a geula? You ever notice every time somebody is very gravely ill, the knee-jerk reaction of people is, we need Mashiach. I always ask them. I don't ask them, but I ask myself, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? No one's going to get sick anymore? Anytime anything goes wrong, we need Mashiach. So what's going to happen? We're not going to have problems with the economy when Mashiach comes? Everything's going to be fine? Everyone's going to have exactly what they need? Maybe. I don't know. But is that really why we want Mashiach? Is that what we talk about? Is that something that takes such a prominent focus in all of our davening all the time? It has to be more than that. So the Dubna Magid says an amazing mashal where he writes there was a child who was invited to a chasana for the first time in his life. And he really doesn't know what it is. He walks in, he sees hundreds of people sitting around. He sees in front of him there's a long aisle and there's a canopy at the end of the aisle with just two people standing under it. Everybody else is standing to the side. He realizes there must be something unique about those two people. He walks right down the aisle, confronts this young man, turns to him and he says, you know, everybody seems to be having a really nice time here. I'm just curious. You look so much happier than everyone else. Why are you so happy? What are you so excited about? And the chassan turns to him and he says, I'm the chassan. The kid says, I don't even know what that means. He says, well, it's my wedding. The kid says, well, this is the first time I'm at a wedding. I don't really know what that means either. He says, well, I'm excited because look at me. This is the nicest tuxedo I've ever worn. A new pair of shoes that I just bought. Someone got me a new pair of clothing. I feel amazing. This is an unbelievable feeling. Of course I'm excited. Okay. Turns to the young woman and he says to the young woman, you know, a lot of women here in the room, everybody seems happy, but you seem so much happier than everyone else. Why are you so happy? She says, well, I'm the cop. He says, what's that? Well, I'm getting married. What does that mean? She says, do you know that I've been here since 6 o'clock in the morning getting my makeup done and my hair? I had a custom-made gown. I had to go for all the fittings. It was so exciting. Then I had to go buy my jewelry that I was going to wear. I feel like a princess. This is unbelievable. I've never felt like this in my life. Ask the Dubna Magid, how long is that marriage going to last? If at the moment of their highest peak of excitement, all they're focused on is all the extremities, all the extras, all the things that are not really the focus of what this moment is. Yes, it's true. You've never been to a wedding where they didn't have a gown and where they didn't have a nice outfit and where they didn't have jewelry and makeup and the hair done. You've never been to such a wedding. It's true. All of those are critical components of the moment. But it's not the focus. You have to keep focus. Says the Dubna Magid, when we talk about Mashiach and Geula, all of these things may be true. Maybe it's true no one's going to get sick anymore. And no one's going to have daigas aparnasa. And all these issues are going to settle themselves out. Maybe all of that is true. But those are all on the periphery. The focus is, Sosa sisba Hashem tagel nafshi velokai. We're going to have the opportunity to once again be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that really is what we daven for. That we don't have that opportunity to feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam here in Chutz La'aretz. We don't have that. And that's what we're lacking. Everything else, maybe it will be, maybe it won't be, but those are the extras. The focus needs to be Sosa Sizba Hashem. You ever wonder, every bracha in Shmona Esrei has a little heading on top of it where we're told exactly what the context of the bracha is all about. So what's the heading on top of Hashibenu Avinu L'Sarasecha? Ever notice? It's a bracha all about Shuvah. Why are we talking about Torah? Hashibenu Avinu L'Sarasecha? It should be Hashibenu Avinu to you. What's the Sarasecha? The answer is, the only way to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is Hashibenu Avinu the Sarasecha. The only way to come to an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to learn His Torah. To connect with Him on that level is the only really sense of understanding that a person can gain into the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. When we talk about Tshuva, when we talk about return, you cannot return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without understanding that the only way to do so is Hashibenu Avinu L'Sarasecha. So as we talk about Ksubas and how that relates to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rabbi Stein, the Maror Da'aser, just mentioned how Shir HaShirim is filled with all of these allusions to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's true. But think about Shir HaShirim for a moment. Shir HaShirim has many beautiful descriptions of our enduring commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of our never-ending loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's true. But there's one very curious pasuk in Shir HaShir, where we refer to our relationship in a very different context than what we would have expected. In the middle of Shir HaShir, the pasuk says, Mi yitencha ka'achli. We make a heartfelt request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When will you treat us like brothers? Now we all have, or some of us might have, wonderful brothers. Maybe we're even very close with our brothers. Maybe we hate them. I don't know. But if we're the kinds of people that love our brothers, like I do, so I'm very close with them, but that's not the deepest and most profound relationship that we have in our lives. Obviously, the closest relationship that a person has is with their spouse. That's the person who you trust most. It's the person who you confide in most. So what does it mean? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be so close to you. Treat us like brothers. We're selling ourselves short. Why are we asking to be like brothers? We should ask to be like a spouse. So this is the kasha that the Baal Shem Tov asked. How do you understand this request? Now, first of all, the Medrash picks up on that and asks, well, which set of brothers are we actually trying to achieve the relationship with? Look through all of Chumash and ask yourself, is it Cain and Hevel? Is it Yaakov and Esav? Who is it exactly? Is it Yitzchak and Yishmael? The Medrash goes through all the brothers, and finally it says, it's K'moshe v'Aaron. As we're told, when Moshe Rabbeinu gets the great promotion, V'ra'acha v'samach v'libo, Aaron HaKohen is so excited for him, and he feels pride in the job that his brother Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to do. But be it as it may, that is certainly not the closest relationship, and the question that is asked is, why do we ask for that? Why do we not ask to be like a spouse? So he gives two suggestions. Number one, he says, while it's true that a husband and wife feel very committed to each other and feel very deeply emotionally connected, and they love each other, unfortunately, there is a possibility, should the circumstance arise, for them to sever that commitment. There is a way out. On the other hand, when you talk about a relationship with brothers, there is no possibility of ever breaking that bond. So when a brother doesn't like the other one, you're still brothers, you're stuck. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are there going to be bumps in the road in our relationship? Are there going to be times when maybe you want to get rid of us, when we want to get rid of you, when we don't feel comfortable with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading our lives? Are there going to be times like that? Maybe. But we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, treat us like brothers. There is no opportunity to ever sever that tie, to ever break the commitment. Mi yitencha ka'achli, treat us like brothers, that even when things get complicated, on our end, on your end, whatever it may be, we're always going to be eternally connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what we ask for. I was thinking about that. If you contrast two different places in Chumash where you find a discussion about different actions, different activities that happened with the Klal Yisrael, you'll notice this difference. When we were engaged in a mitzvah, when we're engaged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we told? Va'atem hadveikim ha'ashem alokechem, uvos sidbak. It's the expectation that we're not just going to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but uvos sidbak means you're one with him. V'dabak v'ishto. And yet, when we talk about Klal Yisrael by Baal Pa'ar, what does the Torah say? V'yitzamed Yisrael le'Baal Pa'ar. We made a mistake. We did something terrible, but it does not define our essence. This is not who we are. V'yitzamed means we found ourselves in close proximity to evil. We did something wrong. We made a mistake. We fell in with the wrong group. We made a wrong choice. It wasn't right. But we did not allow it to redefine our essence. My father once told me that his father told him, why is it that you talk about somebody who becomes of age to do mitzvahs is referred to as a bar mitzvah, and yet somebody who violates an aveira is called a bal aveira? What's the difference? So the verb doesn't perfectly match what we're saying, but you get the point a little bit. The answer is, when we do a mitzvah, it's part of our essence, it's who we are. A child is a child forever. Whether the child gets along with the parent or doesn't, the child is there forever. A bar mitzvah redefines your essence and who you are. On the other hand, when we talk about a bal aveira, do we all make mistakes in life? Of course we do. But understand, you're just married to that mistake. You can always divorce. You're a bal aveira. You have the opportunity to walk away from it and redefine your essence and say, this is not who I am. It's not a part of who I am. That's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi yitencha ka'achli, treat us like brothers. Where we have a unshakable commitment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an unbreakable bond to this relationship, even when things get complicated, and that's so much a dynamic that all of us need in our own lives. But secondly, and I don't think this is any less important, the Baal Shem Tov writes that there's another distinction between the relationship of husband and wife and the relationship between siblings. And he writes, how long am I supposed to go?
As you want.
What? When's dessert? So he writes that the highest level of love that can be expressed between a husband and wife is one that needs to be expressed in private. If they were to express their commitment and their love to each other in public, that would be a violation of their love. That wouldn't be showing how much they appreciate each other. That would be inappropriate. Yet when we talk about siblings who want to show their love and appreciation for each other, there's nothing strange. If they would see each other in the middle of the street, they would go all out. They would show how much they appreciate each other, and nobody would even think it's strange. Writes the Baal Shem Tov, we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we understand that. And we all know it in the subconscious. We all know how much the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. What we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, don't treat us like a spouse where our relationship is limited only to the privacy of our own bedroom, of our own Beis HaKnesses. We ask you, mi yitencha ka'achli, treat us like brothers. Go out to the world and show them, unmask and unveil, your appreciation for who Klal Yisrael are. Don't keep this as a hidden secret. Allow the entire world to see. Allow them to see and appreciate what it means that Klal Yisrael is engaged in a dynamic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. And that is what we ask the Ribono Shel Olam. So I once thought, if we are so brazen to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, we're asking him to go out into the world and to unmask his love for all of us, for everyone to see. What are we prepared to do in response? What are we prepared to do in reaction to that request? So there's a phenomenal medrash in Parshas Va'eschanan. So we know that the Gemara tells us in Brachos, you learned it already, Va'eschanan el Hashem is Begematria 515, Tav Kuf Tesvav Tfilos. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu offered everything in the world to just be allowed access and entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael. In the end, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rab Lach, Al Tosef, that's it. He didn't let him in, and that was the end of the discussion. We don't exactly know what the discussions were all about. How many Shemona Esrei could Moshe Rabbeinu say? Did he just say the same tefillah every time? So the Medrash there in Parshas Va'eschanan gives us a little bit of insight into what some of the tefillahs were all about. There's a phenomenal Medrash there that writes a gripping conversation that took place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu on that occasion. So Moshe Rabbeinu is trying from different angles to argue why he has a right to go into Eretz Yisrael, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. So he starts with the following. Mipnei ma, why is it Atzmosav shal Yosef nechnasim la'aretz va'ani eni nechnas la'aretz? Why is it that Yosef HaTzadik has a right to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael? We took his body, we carried it through the Midbar, we brought it with us into Eretz Yisrael, and I, Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave my whole life for Klal Yisrael. Eini nichnas la'aretz? I don't have a right to go in? I'm less than Yosef HaTzadik? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and he says, Mi shehoda ba'artzo, nikvar ba'artzo. Mi she'eino mode ba'artzo, eino nikvar ba'artzo. Somebody who feels proud of his affiliation with Eretz Yisrael, of his connection to Klal Yisrael, he has a right to go into Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who's ashamed, somebody who's embarrassed, he can stay out. Ask the Medrash, where do you ever find Moshe Rabbeinu is embarrassed, he's ashamed? He gave his whole life to Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash says, when Yosef HaTzadik ends up in jail, and he's totally out of sorts, and he doesn't know anybody, they start asking questions. He comes clean right away, and he says, Gonov gunati meretz avrim, I want you all to know very clearly, this is who I am. I'm stuck here in Mitzrayim, but you should all know what my essence is. Ganov gunavti me'eretz ha'avrim. I'm a proud, card-carrying member of the Jewish people. This is who I am. I'm not ashamed. I have nothing to be embarrassed of. Writes the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu is there, and Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid for his life. He's running away. Comes to the Be'er. He meets the daughters of Yisrael. They go back home. They tell their father, Ish Mitzri tzilana miyad aroim. Father says, how'd you get home so quickly? Usually you're abused by the well. And they say, well, Ishmitzri Tzilana Miyad Aroyim. Says the Medrash, somebody mistakenly referred to you as an Ishmitzri, but who shall may have a shosei? Your blood doesn't boil when somebody mistakenly calls you an American? You're not an American. You're a Jew. You're a Yid. You're a member of Klal Yisrael. Writes the Medrash, you're embarrassed of your affiliation with the land of Eretz Yisrael or the people of Eretz Yisrael? You don't have a right to go into the land. Perhaps, if we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we finish Maseches Ksuvos, and we think about not only the dynamic relationship between a husband and wife, but we think about what the expectation is of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're asking the Ribono Shel Olam not only for that understanding of a husband and wife and that commitment and that love and that great passion that they have for each other, but we're asking beyond that. Mi tencha ka'achli, take those aspects of brotherly love and infuse them into our relationship as well. Perhaps if we're willing to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be so brazen, to go out into the world and show everyone, V'ro kalami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha, maybe we need to commit ourselves to do the same. Which is to go out into the world and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't leave this relationship as one that remains in the privacy of our own bedroom. We don't leave it in our bedroom with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is our Beis HaKnesses, our Beis Medrash. We take this relationship and we show the world how proud we are. Gonov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivri. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I'm not embarrassed. I'm proud of my affiliation. I'm proud of exactly who I am. And even though we live in a world with lots of anti-Semitism going on, lots of people who may not have the same values as we do, lots of people who disagree on our positions on so many issues, but we go out there with pride and we say, Gano gunati me'eretz ha'ivri. It's exactly who I am. I'm very proud of it. And it's difficult, as we live in Golos, to strike that balance and to find exactly where we should assert ourselves and where perhaps to pull back a little bit. But that's what we look forward to as we think about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sos Asiz BaHashem. We should have the opportunity to once again be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a full and complete understanding of what that relationship really means for all of us. Through our Talmud Torah that we do, that we all engage in, that we give of our lives for, that we wake up early and go to sleep late for, the commitment to the Daf Yomi and the commitment to any aspect of Limud HaTorah is something that we're so proud of, it's something that we work hard for. We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see all of it as a tremendous schus for all of us, as a schus for your Kehila, as a schus for your Magid Ashir, and for everything that we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see how much we are committed to Him, and in turn, He should recommit Himself to the causes, to the interests, and to the future of all that Klal Yisrael needs. Mazel tov again.
Yeah, no, I think so. Should I, Dabmar? Dabmar first? Dabmar. Was Dabmar ready? You want Dabmar? Maybe come in first.